Nyanavahini, Chapter 3. There are four types of jnanis: Brahmavid, Brahmavidvara, Brahmavidvaryan, Brahmavidvarishtha. These types are differentiated according to the development of the sattvic quality in the jnani. The first, the Brahmavid, has reached the fourth stage called Pratyapatti. The second, the Brahmavidvara, has attained the fifth, the Asamsakti stage. The third has gained the sixth stage, the Padhartha Bhavana. And the fourth, the Brahmavidvarishtha, is in the seventh grade, the Turiya, the stage of perpetual samadhi. The Brahmavidvarishtha is liberated though he is in the body. He has to be forcibly persuaded to partake of food and drink. He will not engage himself in any work relating to the world. He will be unconscious of the body and its demands. But the other three will be aware of it in varying intensities, and they will engage themselves in worldly work to the extent appropriate to their spiritual status. Those three have to acquire the destruction of the manas, the mind. This itself is of two grades: Swarupanasha, the destruction of the agitations and even their shapes and forms, and Arupanasha, the destruction of the agitations only. Readers might be troubled by a doubt while on this point. They might ask, who are these who have conquered and wiped out the mind? Those who have neither attachment nor hatred, pride nor jealousy nor greed. Those who are free from bondage of the senses. Those really are the heroes who have won the battle against the mind. That is the test. Such heroic persons will be free from all agitations. He who has achieved Swarupanasha would have eliminated the two gunas, tamas and rajas, and he will shine with the splendor of pure sattva. Through the influence of that pure guna, he will radiate love and beneficence and mercy wherever he moves. In the Brahmavidvarishtha, the already liberated individual, even this sattva guna will be absent. The sattva guna will have as its unmistakable concomitants splendor, wisdom, bliss, peace, brotherliness, sense of sameness, self-confidence, holiness, purity, and similar qualities. Only he who is saturated in sattvic guna can witness the image of the Atma within. It is when the sattva is mixed with the tamasic and rajasic that it is rendered impure and becomes the cause of ignorance and illusion. This is the reason for the bondage of man. The rajasic quality produces the illusion of something non-existent being existent. It broadens and deepens the contact of the senses with the external world. It creates affection and attachment, and so by means of the dual pulls of happiness and sorrow, the one to gain and the other to avoid, it plunges man deeper and deeper into activity. These activities breed the evil of passion, fury, greed, conceit, hatred, pride, meanness, and trickery. And the tamasic quality? Well, it blinds the vision and lowers the intellect, multiplying sloth, sleep, and dullness, leading man along the wrong path away from the goal. It will make even the seen the unseen. One will fail to benefit even from one's actual experience if he is immersed in tamas. It will mislead even big scholars, for scholarship does not necessarily confer moral stamina. Caught in these tentacles of tamas, the pundits cannot arrive at correct conclusions. Even the wise, if they are bound down by tamas, will be affected by many doubts and misgivings, and be drawn towards sensory pleasures to the detriment of the wisdom they have gained. They will begin to identify themselves with their property, their wives and children, and other such worldly temporals. They will even confuse untruth with truth, and truth with untruth. Note how great a trickster this tamas is. This power of superimposition that Maya has hides from the jivi or the individual the universal that he is, the Satchitananda, the being awareness bliss that is his nature. All this jagat, with its manifoldness, is born out of the ascription of multiplicity where there is only one. When all this evolution is subsumed by the process of involution or pralaya, the three gunas are in perfect equilibrium or balance. This is the stage called gunasamya avastha. Then through the will of the super will or Ishvara, the balance is disturbed and activity starts, leading to consequences which breed further activities. In other words, the world originates and develops and unfolds. This is the stage called unbalanced or Vaishamya. Thus, from the subtle inner conscious and subconscious to the gross outer physical body, everything is due to Maya, or the power of superimposition of the particular over the universal. That is the reason why these are referred to as anatma, that is, non-atma. They are like the mirage which superimposes water over desert sand. It can be destroyed only by the vision of Brahman or Atma. The affection that one has towards one's relatives, the satisfaction one gets when one secures the things craved for, the happiness one gets when one utilizes such things, all these are bondages which the consciousness imposes on itself. Even sleep and dreams are such agitations which have to be overcome before the Atma can be well visualized and realized. In sleep, the element of ignorance persists. The feelings of I and mine produce an endless series of activities and agitations in the various levels of consciousness. But just as a single soldier in a vantage position can successfully tackle hundreds of enemy personnel who come in single file through a narrow gap, one has to tackle each agitation as and when it emerges in the consciousness and overwhelm it. The courage to do this can be got through the training derived by practice. All agitations will cease the moment one enters on the inquiry, "Who am I?" This was the sadhana that Ramana Maharshi achieved and taught to his disciples. That is also the easiest of all the disciplines. First, there must be the Shubhecha, the desire to procure one's own welfare. This will lead to the study of books about Brahman and its principles, the search for the company of the good, the withdrawal from sensory pleasures, and the thirst for liberation. Even the Mahavakya, the profound spiritual truth, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, has a trace of ignorance sticking onto it, the aham considered as separate but identical. This aham, the jiva, the I, is so persistent that it will disappear only through ceaseless meditation on the implications of tat tvam asi, that thou art, and the all-inclusive atma or brahman. This is the vicharana stage or bhumika, that is subsequent to the Shubhecha stage. By these means, the mind can be fixed very soon on the contemplation of Brahman. Each stage is a step in the ladder for the progressive rise of the mind, from the concrete to the subtle, and the subtle to the non-existent. This is the Tanumanasi, or the last stage. The three stages referred to above and the disciplines that they involve will destroy all desires and cravings and illumine knowledge of the reality. The mind is rendered fully holy and saturated with truth. This is called Asamsakti, or the stage of non-attachment or no contact. That is to say, all contact with the exterior world or even with one's own past is wiped out. No attention is paid to the internal and the external. The sadhaka reaches abhava pratiti, as it is called. He has no padhartha bhavana of his own. That is to say, no object can create any sensation in his consciousness. He, the perfect jnani, will be ever immersed in the bliss of the Atma. He has no awareness of the seer, the seen, and the sight, the triple thread. This is the Turiya, the fourth, the beyond stage. Some are wakeful dreamy, or Jagrat Swapna. They build castles in the air, planning with the known and the unknown, the seen and the unseen. Others are extra wakeful, Mahajagrat. Their eye and mind have become too deep-rooted through many births. These are all but agitations of the consciousness, vrittis. Wisdom can dawn only when these are destroyed. Until then, however much one may know of names and forms, one cannot grasp the reality. The ceasing of all vrittis or agitations is the sign of the person who genuinely knows the reality.